You are Locked On Cowboys, your daily podcast on the Dallas Cowboys, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Cowboys podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Marcus Mosier. You can find me on Twitter at Marcus_Mosier. And joining me today is Landon McCool. You can follow him on Twitter at McCoolBTB. Landon, how you doing today, sir?
Doing good. We're trying to keep everyone going, keep the momentum going all the way to training camp because it's a desert out there, like we talked about. But we got a lot of fun topics to get over to kind of look back at previous draft classes, and we're gonna do one of those today.
Yeah, so coming up on today's show, we review the Cowboys 2010 draft. We will go through every pick, go through their leaked draft board, which is always kind of exciting, and we'll discuss some of our favorite players and picks from that draft. But before we begin, let's rewind a little bit to talk about the Cowboys mindset entering that 2010 draft. They just came off an 11-5 season in which they won their first playoff game since I think 1996, correct? Crushed by Minnesota in the divisional round. And if you remember that game correctly, that's the game that the Vikings defensive line just absolutely murdered their offensive line. They had
ate them up on the right side all day long. I remember that game very well. It was specifically Jared Allen, if I'm not mistaken, just eating up Mark Colombo. And I think that may have been Mark Colombo's.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's his last game. No, because he ended up playing the next year. But I think it was kind of near the where we were realizing it could be the beginning of the end.
It was just an older offensive line, and they really needed to upgrade. Yeah. And so that kind of thought. I mean, a lot of people were thinking this would be the draft that the Cowboys would finally start investing resources into the offensive line. They held the 27th pick in the first round. 2009, they did not have a first or second round pick. Their first pick was actually the linebacker Jason Williams. So a lot of Cowboy fans were getting anxious about this pick, including both of me and you, who were kind of hoping that they would draft a certain offensive guard. So let's go ahead and discuss some of the guys that we were hoping for in that draft. And Landon, I will let you start. Do you remember who your guy was in that 2010 draft?
Well, let me be clear. Definitely, the guy that I had targeted for the Cowboys throughout the draft was Mike Iupati. But that was all under the assumption that someone like Dez Bryant would never make it to the Cowboys.
Yep.
Like, the Cowboys would never have an opportunity to even get a Dez Bryant. So, Dez Bryant, like, much like, you know, in a couple of years, in a couple days, whenever we talk about the whatever class it was that Mo Claiborne went in,
2012.
Much like that, you know, where I just, you know, you know who the player is because you're studying the draft class, but you don't really think that the Cowboys have an opportunity to get that player. It was shocking when the Cowboys got him. So for me, I think we talk about Mike Iupati. I mean, offensive line was very much the focus of where we were going at that point, because we were trying to rebuild what was a quickly depleting offensive line and a talent due to talent and age, you know, sort of crossing paths, and I think that, you know, when it all went down the way it did, I think it was quite surprising, actually, if I remember exactly how I felt.
Well, let's go ahead and talk real quick about some of those offensive linemen that were available, because this was a great year if you needed one. In the top five picks was Russell Okung and Trent Williams. The Cowboys also liked Mike Iupati a little bit. Brian Bulaga went at pick 23. Marquise Pouncey went in the middle of the first round. Just a really good year for offensive linemen. I actually went back and I looked at a bunch of different mock drafts just to kind of see who people were projecting at the time. And I came out with five of the most common names. I'm going to go through them really quickly. You'll remember some of these names, and you're going to get a kick out of who the Cowboys may have been interested in. But the most common name for the Cowboys in the first round was safety Taylor Mays from USC. The next was center Marquise Pouncey, Jason Pierre-Paul, Golden Tate, and then an offensive tackle, Charles Brown from USC. Did any of those names kind of surprise you? Do you have any comments about those five guys?
I definitely remember that Taylor Mays was the guy that I had spent the entire offseason going, no, guys, this is not the guy that you want. I felt like Taylor Mays prepared me for Jabril Peppers like 2 years ago.
That's not
fair. Even though they're very, even though they're not very, yeah, it's really not fair because Jabril Peppers, I think, is there a better player. But I, you know, just that kind of like way overhyped safety. Now, if we want to talk about me, you know, falling into that trap that I was avoiding with Taylor Mays, eventually we're going to talk about Kwasi Iwusu-Aanta. But yeah, I would say that overall, I was definitely against Taylor Mays situation. I was definitely against. Well, no, I was kind of neutral about Charles Brown. I mean, obviously, I liked Pouncey a lot. And I was actually a big fan of Jason Pierre-Paul because I had actually discovered Jason Pierre-Paul the year before he broke out, because this is kind of a weird story, but I had been very aware of George Selvey. Because if you remember, George Selvey, the year before he came out of the draft, had something like 16 sacks his junior year, the year before Jason Pierre-Paul actually broke out at USF. And so when I started watching, you know, George Selvey tape early on for that draft class, Jason Pierre-Paul obviously stuck out like a sore thumb. And then there was sore thumb. And then later he had a video of him after practice, I think it was, doing a flip flop handstand. Yeah. Or what do you call it?
They were like backflips, right?
Somersaults or whatever, yeah. And he did like 20 of them in a row or something ridiculous at his size. So, I like Jason Pierre-Paul as well a little bit. But some of those other guys, like, definitely not Taylor Mays. I mean, and I can't remember some of those other names, but I think the guys that I was mostly focused on were offensive linemen. And again, with no thought to the idea that a Dez Bryant or, you know, even Demetrius Thomas, who surprisingly went ahead of Dez, if I remember
Demaryius Thomas, yep.
Demaryius Thomas, yeah, sorry. Surprisingly went ahead of Dez, kind of shocked us at the time. But yeah, I didn't think that was even a possibility. And obviously, none of the mock drafters did either at this point, right?
No, not at all. One real quick note on George Selvey, because he's always an interesting guy. As a sophomore, he had 31.5 tackles for a loss, which is absolutely insane. It's by far the highest in a single season in college football history. But one of the biggest storylines of that draft was where Dez Bryant was going to fall. I went back, looked at every NFL.com mock draft, every Mel Kiper draft. I have actually his book right here with me. And every single one of these drafts had Dez going in the top 5 or 6 picks. Most people thought he was going to be a lock to be in the top 10. If he didn't go there, he was going to be shortly picked after. So when Dez started to fall in this draft, it's when I started to get excited. Dallas had a 27th pick. They knew the Ravens wanted him at pick, I believe it was pick 25 that the Ravens had. So the Cowboys went up, traded ahead of the Ravens with the New England Patriots. And with the 24th pick in the 2010 NFL draft, the Cowboys selected Dez Bryant, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Overall, I mean, you look at the draft and you look at some of those guys that went after him. There's still some players in the league that are playing at a high level, but I think Dez was the right pick here. He was the guy that brought excitement into the offense. If you look back at that roster in 2010, they had an aging Roy Williams. They had Miles Austin, who just had a breakout season, but couldn't stay healthy. They needed to get a true number one receiver, and that was Dez Bryant. So take us through kind of your reactions during that pick and just kind of about Dez overall.
Well, I mean, obviously, we've spoken at great length about Dez as the player, and I mean, I literally, personally, have spoken hours and hours about Dez Bryant on air and podcasts and over the years. Look, I think you can make this really simple if you want to talk about the validity or whether this is a good pick or not or whatever. He's the all-time leading touchdown receiver for the Dallas Cowboys.
That's all you need to say.
End of the conversation. You know, like, he is the all-time leader in touchdown receptions for the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, I think, you know, just to kind of comment on him real quick, and because, you know, what is there more to say about Dez Bryant? But he had probably one of the most unique draft seasons I've ever experienced. You know, like, where he is, you nailed it. When was the last time we saw a, you know, likely top five, but lock top 10, you know, draft prospect have such a tumultuous, you know, draft season? I mean, full, you know, start to go. I mean, you could say what you want about, you know, about gas mask pictures showing up last minute, right, or, you know, this or that. Dez Bryant, you know, goes in with a tape that looks like you said, top five tape. But just everything about his offseason was not just a disaster, but like just very unclear. Just more, it made the whole situation more and more murky. Right? He shows up to his
pro day.
Yep. You know, pro yep. day, having to change shoes. He had to rerun his stuff. He looks like he's in incredible shape, but he doesn't exactly run like I think some people thought. Everyone questioned his speed. I remember whether he was going to, you know, break 4.6 or something like that, or, you know, and so I just feel like it was such an odd, you know, there was so much uncertainty about him. I think a lot of people obviously had no idea just based on what has come out on, you know, his combine questions that he got from teams, including, you know, Miami asking if his mother was a prostitute. And, you know, I just think that the league in general didn't know how to deal with, you know, a man in his situation.
There was other questions about whether he could read. There's a story out there about a team bringing a children's book to an interview and asking him to read it because they didn't believe he could read.
Yeah. And I think that you know, the Dez Bryant to me just showed how flawed the process is in a lot of ways for that teams clearly don't know how to identify, deal with, or relate to people that clearly had different upbringings than they did. I mean, this was Dez Bryant. It's been a lot of things. He's been a victim of you know, what you want to call child abuse, or a victim of poor parenting, or bad situation, or rough upbringing. However you want to word that, he's been he's had some issues with anger before. All of this is part of a very complicated person that had a very complicated upbringing. I think Dez Bryant is a fantastic person. I think that you know, I would have no. I have a 3-year-old daughter. I would have absolutely no qualms with you know, bringing Dez Bryant around my 3-year-old and you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that he is a good person at heart. I think that, you know, he has some complicated issues based on how complicated he is, and I think that made things uncomfortable for a lot of teams. And you could, you know, say what you want about the Cowboys, but they were willing to embrace that, take that on, and as much as everyone wants to talk about, you know, the issues with the Cowboys taking on troubled players, I think Dez Bryant is a guy who, you know, despite maybe not having a drug problem or, you know, being an actual thug who, you know, actually is trying to go out and, you know, rob people or, you know, just be involved with guns or violence or any of that kind of thing, like, that Dez Bryant, you know, could have gone either way, and the Cowboys were able to get, obviously, monumental, epic, record-breaking production out of the guy, and you know, Dez Bryant was able to pull it all together in a way that worked. So I think that would it have worked out as well if he had gone to another team? I don't know, but I think both Dez Bryant and the Cowboys deserve a lot of credit for 7 fantastic years that they got out of the
player. The Cowboys had Dez Bryant as their 12th overall player in that draft, and we know that because after the draft. Blogging the Boys, a Blogging the Boys user named Raquim, was able to piece together the entire Dallas Cowboys draft board by using a few leaked pictures. We can run through their top 10 picks really quickly because this is
again, a fantastic article. This is one of three draft boards that has been leaked by the Dallas Cowboys and has been put together by Blogging the Boys. Let's go through their top 10 players really quickly. Number one was Sam Bradford, who did go number one overall. Maybe the most interesting thing is they had Gerald McCoy as their second best player in the draft. Ndamukong Suh was the third player. Then it was Russell Okung, Trent Williams, Eric Berry, Rolando McClain, who they ended up getting, Joe Hayden, CJ Spiller, Mike Iupati, and then it was Earl Thomas at 11, Dez Bryant at 12. There was a couple stories out there that the Cowboys tried to trade up to get Earl Thomas. That did not work. Instead, they just moved up three spots to get Dez Bryant. The Cowboys actually then, in the second round, were able to grab their 14th ranked player on their board, and that would be Sean Lee. The Cowboys actually made a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, trading up at a few spots to get this pick. The Eagles traded back a couple times. They ended up taking Clay Harbor, the tight end, who ended up was on The Bachelorette for a while. I think the Cowboys made the right decision here. So talk to us a little bit about this pick at the time. I know, you know, I'm a guy that's from Pennsylvania. I saw Sean Lee in person, you know, once at the blue and white game, just back then in 2008, 2009. I mean, aside from being just a football junkie, he was a really, really good athlete. He's not that same athlete anymore, but man, he has really improved his game. So just talk to us a little bit about that Sean Lee selection.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, before we go there, I should give some information there. I was actually with Blogging the Boys when all of this was kind of going on, when that stuff got revealed, and the guy who, you know, collected all those pictures and got all that was my former podcast partner, Sean Kirshner, who is a rabble rouser, as many of you guys may know him. You know, he got that on an anonymous tip that was sent to Blogging the Boys, and he still thinks that very likely that stuff could have been sent out from the Cowboys
themselves. What would be the reason for that?
Well, I think that the thought process was that they wanted to prove how high they had Dez Bryant on their board.
Which is smart.
I think that was the point. And they I don't know if you know, this is all speculation, so I don't, you know, but I think that was the, you know, we looked at the IP, we were able to trace the IP address that you know that the mail came from, and I think it came from Dallas, so it came from Valley Ridge, so yeah, so I don't know if it's, you know, I mean, that very well could have been a lot of other things, but because, you know, there's people trumping through that war room, I think, at that point that doesn't as much exist anymore, at least with cameras. So who knows? But that's the interesting inside baseball there. If that's even any of that, is even true. Like I said, all of that is very much speculation by the people that were gifted some incredible information. And then, yeah, but also kudos to those guys who were able to piece it together, because that's fantastic work. And OCC and Rabble were very heavily involved in that. But to Sean Lee, you know, look, obviously the only problem Sean Lee has had is injuries. I mean, you know, like if we don't talk about Sean Lee's negatives except in the realm of
injury. He doesn't really have any.
Really have any. He's so, so good. Like I think that even, you know, despite his injuries, he almost is as good a pick as Dez Bryant. You know, like that's the kind of, like, that's how good he's been for us. Like, you know, at times for years he has carried this defense, and I don't know if that's, he's still carrying at the same rate he was maybe the season before that or the year before that, but obviously, you know, the win totals kind of line up sort of like that. I think that Sean Lee, you know, they took a chance, another one of these second rounders where they take a chance on a guy that they have a first round grade on, but for whatever reason, whether it be injury history, whether it be off the field problems or whatever, they take a chance on a first round talent in the second round. And I think with Sean Lee, I mean, I don't really care how many games he's missed. It's been absolutely worth it. Like, he has been amazing when he's been on the field. When he's been off the field, it's been bad and we've missed him. but I'm not like trading that for what he is on the field. And let me just say, as a guy, and you too, I mean, as a guy who loves to watch football and like loves to watch all 22 tape, like, it's just awesome to watch him.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. Like, it's awesome, man. Like, how does he figure this stuff out? You watch 22 tape, man, or the end zone tape specifically is what I'm talking about. And you know, you see all these bodies moving, and anyone who's played linebacker before, and I played linebacker in high school, like, it's a mess when you're on the field at the same, like, you're seeing bodies move all these different directions. And the reason they teach you to look at your cues is because if you don't have eye discipline, if you don't know exactly where to look for what you need, it looks like a mass of humanity. It doesn't look like anything. You can't, it's incredibly difficult to see what's going on. So as someone who's, you know, seeing it from that angle and watches him effortlessly move through bodies, move around people whilst maintaining focus on exactly what is happening is just so insanely impressive. And he's, you know, probably when he's healthy, he's as good as any run and hit linebacker in the league. And I think he's, you know, his talent or his high ceiling is as good as almost any run and hit linebacker who's ever played, you know? I think the world of Sean Lee, and despite what you say about the injuries or anyone will say about the injuries, I think he, you know, a steal still in the second round.
So one of the fun things that we can do because of this draft board is we can pretty much guess as to what the Cowboys probably would have done if they didn't make any moves in the first two rounds. If you look at the draft board in the first round, if they did not get Dez, their highest ranked player was Jared Odrick. Defensive end who got drafted by Miami. I think they made the right call there. If it wasn't Sean Lee in the second round, I mean, you're talking about some pretty players. Corey Wotan, who I think played for the Bears a while, Joe McKnight, the running back from USC, Chad Jones, Colt McCoy, Taylor Price. I mean, the Cowboys nailed that about as best as they could with Bryant and Sean Lee. Let's go ahead and move on to the Cowboys' fourth round pick. And we're going to go through some of these a little bit quicker. But this is a guy that I actually got to see a lot of because he played at a school called IUP, Indiana, of University of Pennsylvania, which plays my hometown rival of Edinburgh University. I got to see him in person. And I was shocked that that was an NFL player. I guess I never thought that Kwasi Wuntsuansa was the guy that was going to make it in the NFL. But the Cowboys picked him in the fourth round to be this combo cornerback safety. What do you remember about Kwasi Wuntsuansa? And were you excited about the pick?
I was. I'm mea culpa on it. I liked Kwasi Wuntsuansa.
He was a great athlete.
He was an incredible athlete, and I thought that he had the ability to kind of play that nickelback safety combo. A Darren Woodson clone would be nice. Why not? Thank you. That'd be great. In the fourth round, fantastic. Obviously it didn't work out for him, and he played only I think like 3 years, and played only in 15 games or something like that. So. I just think he couldn't grasp what was going on. He couldn't translate the athleticism to. I think it was just too much. And I think the problem was is that, you know, especially at that position, you're asking him to play in a complicated nickel position. It's a lot of processing. And I think that's just not his game. Or it wasn't his game. So obviously that was a missed pick. And he goes on what was the name? I can't believe I forgot these guys' name. Matt Jones. What was the name of the unicorn? The other safety, the guy
Matt
from
Johnson. Matt
Eastern
Johnson.
Washington.
They
Matt Johnson.
In the red field. I watched those YouTube highlights. I don't know how many times.
Oh man, yeah. Like so it goes on the scrap heap of safeties that never quite got off the runway.
All right, so they actually had some more success on day three. Sixth round, Sam Young, the offensive tackle for Notre Dame, didn't play much for Dallas, but actually has stuck around the league for a while. He's really a right tackle. Did he ever play for Dallas? I don't even actually remember. This is bad radio.
I don't think No, I think he did. I think he played like, yeah, no, he did. I'm just, hold on. Yeah, it shows him. It shows him at two okay. games. I think. Yeah, I think he came. I think he got like there were some injuries and he was active as a swing tackle okay. at some point. So yeah, yeah, so, yeah
he's played with Buffalo for the last few years. Still in the NFL, so good for him. Jamar Wall, cornerback from Texas Tech, never really did anything. Seventh round, Sean Lissamore, the defensive tackle from William and Mary. I actually like Lissamore quite a bit. He kind of got. He kind of got stuck in Dallas playing a bunch of different positions. He was drafted to be a 3-4 defensive end. He played well as a one technique when he was given that opportunity. The Cowboys had him play quite a few games. He ended up getting traded to the Chargers, I believe, later on in his career. But for a seventh-round pick to make the league and to start, that's a pretty impressive pick for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it was absolutely impressive, and if you remember too, like you know, 2010. I mean, not to, spoiler alert for anyone that was going to go relive the 2009 season. It didn't turn out so well,
right.
What happened is that you know, obviously Wade Phillips got fired, and then they transitioned defenses. And Sean actually was one of the guys who was able as a defensive lineman to make that transition and do pretty well, you know, I mean, because obviously he was more a perfect fit for playing that sort of five technique, pass rushing five technique. You know, he's a 6'4"-ish, 280 type player. So, you know, I think, but strong, you know, real strong. So, like, I think that was like he was a good fit on the outside, but was still able to hold up for, you know, 2 or 3 years before he got traded to San Diego to play you know, over there. But I think that, you know, for a guy that, yeah, you mentioned it, came out of William and Mary in the seventh round, you know, really was a hard worker and was able to earn that spot that first year just by his impressive play in the training camp. So, yeah, I thought that was a good hit for them. And then the you know, as far as evaluation goes, the hits kind of continue even past the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to dive right into it. They have four guys that they got after the draft that made an impact either with the Cowboys or with other teams. And, you know, that goes with Chris Gronkowski, the fullback, Brian McCann, the cornerback, who I think his biggest play of his career was the pick six in the Giants game. I think it was the game after Wade Phillips got fired, right? That I'm thinking of the right Brian McCann, correct?
Yeah, no, and I also didn't he also have a? I mean, he may have had also had a kick return touchdown that same game.
Yeah, I think he did. I think you're right.
Like I mean, he had. I think he had multiple kick return touchdowns that season.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Andrew Sanjayo.
He was a really good kick returner. Yeah,
Andrew Sanjayo, the safety who I think is still starting in Minnesota now, with the seventh round supplemental pick, you know, just a couple months after the draft, the Cowboys selected Josh Brent, who started quite a few years as that defensive tackle for the Cowboys. So you're talking about four guys who you spent a combined one pick on that, you know, a few of them are still in the league, still playing at a high level. That's, you know, that's pretty impressive from your scouting department.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the one thing, you know, that you can say about the Cowboys consistently throughout this time is, you know, people have talked about how they've missed on the second round players and this and that and some of these, you know, other later round spots. But the reason that they've been able to do that and get away with it is because their seventh and undrafted free agent classes are unbelievable and have been for this period, I think from 2010 to like, going back before that, obviously, because they got Miles Austin and Tony Romo before that and Sam Hurd and guys like that. So, you know, they have a long and rich history of finding talent in the undrafted free agent market. And I think this was a great example of that. This great evaluation. And, you know, say what you will. They weren't able to hold on to Sendejo, but they were able to hold on to AOA. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with draft politics. But I think, you know, as much as you want to slight them for that side of it, you should also give them credit for identifying the talent to bring them in the first place.
Absolutely. So we have just about a minute left. Let's go ahead and grade this Cowboys draft class. So what do you give the 2010 class? Go ahead.
How are we grading them? How are we? We didn't really talk about this. Are we doing this like the positional groups?
Let's do the letter grade, A through F.
I think... I mean,
this one's easy. This one's easy.
I gotta give him an A,
yes.
Right? Like, I think you know, it's the only thing you think is that you know, an A class really should probably get you know, three starters out of it. And I think that if you want to talk about what you got out of Sean Lissamore, who ended up being a starter for a while, I think, you know, Sean Lee and Dez Bryant are slam dunks as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, they're talking about two of the best players in Cowboys history at this point, right? Like, I mean, I'm not exaggerating there. So I think, you know, yeah, it's hard. And again, some of the other stuff they were able to get later, I think, yeah, absolutely an A.
It's your all-time receiving touchdown leader and a two-time All-Pro linebacker. It's an A. There's nothing else they can be. Just a fantastic draft. This one was really fun. This might have been my favorite draft in the last decade, just because I love Dez and Sean Lee so much. So thank you guys so much for following along. We're going to continue to do this over the next couple of weeks. We're going to go through a bunch of different drafts. We're going to, you know, go through scenarios, talk about what happened, what could have happened. It's the slow time of the NFL year. So we'll help you get through it. But that's it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you download and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow Landon at McCoolBTB. You can follow the show at Locked On Cowboys. And I'm at Marcus_Mosier. And we will see you next time.